But I was thinking like, money and stuff. You know, Christmas rolls around and it's all about stuff, right? You know what Christmas is about? It's all about stuff. You know, how many presents under the Christmas tree? And which ones are for me, right? You know? And that's, you know, we look at that. But what I want to say, that abundant life is that three words we've been concentrating on: love, joy, and peace. That's really what Christmas is supposed to bring, isn't it? That sense of belonging, that sense of joy, you know, and a peace in the midst of all the stress of the holidays.
I made it really plain and simple. I'm going to tell you something. You're messed up. Isn't that encouraging this morning? You come to church, you have the pastor tell you you're messed up. Me too, all right? See, as I look at our world and as I look at life and as I read God's word, I'm going to tell you something. Everyone is messed up. Now, some people are better at hiding it than others. Anybody know that one? You know? They're better at concealing the garbage. They're kind of, you know, the shame, you know, they're good at kind of putting it away, and they can put the face on, you know, maybe they don't put makeup on, but they sure put a face on. And they come in and they try to portray this image. And what I want to say, what I wanted to drive at is, you know what? Last week I really dwelled on it. We need to admit that. I like this verse here in Psalms 42. I am deeply depressed. Last week I would have wrote it this way. I am deeply sick in the stomach, okay? That's what I would have wrote last week. But maybe you're here and maybe you would write something, you know, I am deeply hurt. I am deeply wounded. I am deeply ashamed. I am deeply burdened with my failures. I am deeply bitter. The misfortunes of life, the abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, the mistreatment in life, you know, and I am deeply depressed. But then he goes on. Therefore, I like that. I am deeply depressed. I am deeply hurt, deeply wounded. Therefore, I remember you. And who is you? Anybody got an idea who is? It's God. It's the Lord. But I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He's saying, I'm all this. I'm hurt. I'm wounded. But I remember. I remember. See, we're all damaged. There is not a perfect person in this world. There was one perfect person, and they killed him. All right? You know? But we all have battles. They're all different. You know, and they're all struggles. Because, see, we live in this world, and this world is messed up. Look at what it says here in John 16. Jesus is speaking. I've told you all this. He's telling them about soon departure, all right? I'm going to die on the cross, raised from the grave. He's telling them, he's preparing them for a soon death.
He says, I've told you all this that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. And I want to circle the word many. Anybody on that one? Anybody got many right now? I like that. Many trials and sorrows. Those emotional struggles, those hard aches, those things that weigh you down. Then he says, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. See, we live in a world that's fallen. We live in this imperfect, scarred world. We live in a world that's full of hurts. And it's life. And we go through life damaged. And we're messed up. And I think the first, you go to these 12-step programs, and one of the first things they have to make you do, you have to do what? You have to admit, I have a problem, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever. I think one of the first things we have to do is I'm messed up. I say this, and some of you have been here for a while, you know this. I'm a jerk. Anybody on board with that one? Anybody seen me be a jerk? Yeah, I see hands going up. Yeah. You know? But I'm willing to say I'm a jerk. You know, I'm willing to tell you I will screw up. I will mess up. I'm not perfect. I have that cow disease, hoof and mouth. I will put my foot in my mouth and the toe. I'll put the whole thing in. You know? Yeah, but I'm willing to admit that. You know? It's not going to be an excuse. Like I always say, either you can make these an excuse or an explanation. And too often we make it an excuse. We use it as an excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. You know, that's how God made me. And we make it an excuse. What I've tried and what I wanted this series to do is make an explanation. Because we live in this world that's damaged, and it's going to damage us even more. Is that true? The world is going to turn screws on us, and the world's going to push us. And maybe when I say the world, let's say Satan. Anybody on board with that one? Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his objective. That's his goal. Look at this passage here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. The devil who rules this world. Why don't you circle that? Has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ, who is exactly like God. Satan rules this world. All right? Now, I can be, and I can say this, and it's true, right? Made me do it, right? Anybody? It's the devil's fault. He made me do it. No, it don't work that way. When it says he rules the world, I'm going to tell you what. He rules, but he doesn't have total control. Let me ask you this. Anybody here have kids? Anybody got kids? Okay. Who rules your house? I know who rules the house, right? Now, who's got control, though? Is there a difference between who rules and who's in control? Is there a difference? See, Satan rules, but I got to tell you something. He ain't in control. Can you say amen to that one? You know, Satan rules, man. God has permissively given him will. You know, that permissive will of God. But I'm going to tell you what. Still is an authority. God is still on his throne. But the devil does rule, and he's going to make things. God has put boundaries around him. But Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to mess our lives up. I'm sure you've never said things that you regret, right? I'm sure you've done anything that you wish you hadn't. I'm sure we're messed up. We really are. And we need to see that in this world, it's a mess. And I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. All right? This world is never going to straighten up and fly. Anybody? You know? The world is always going to be screwed up. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to screw you up. Every chance Satan gets, Satan's going to tweak it. Satan's going to pull you. Every chance he gets, he's going to move in the midst of your life and drag you down. He wants to destroy you. But he has boundaries. I like this in Deuteronomy. Look at what it says. So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. Now listen, Hebrews said, notch this. Put this, nail this in your head. The Lord is both in heaven and on earth, and there's no other. Satan rules, but God is the master. All right? God is in control. God is sitting there on the throne. Not everything that happens to you is God's intentional will. Anybody? That wasn't God's plan for your life. That wasn't God's intent for you. That's Satan. He's there. See, God's not the author of every event in your life, but he's the master of all events. You get a picture here of what I'm trying to say? So I have these 2 points. I wanted to drill in on these 2 points. Satan is trying to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. That's what the world wants to do. How many think, well, if I just got a different job, my life would be better? Anybody? Would that make your life really better? Yeah. I got one up here. Yeah. Is a new job going to solve everything in your life? Yeah. Well, how about when I got to exchange my spouse? Let's have a, you know, I need a different spouse. Anybody? You know, if it wasn't for my spouse, I'd be happy. You know, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. How about this one? Some of us got kids. If it wasn't for my children. See, we think we just change our environment, we'll be okay, right? Just change the environment. It doesn't work. See, Satan has this. He's going to bring those things into your life that's going to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy you. But I put this last one here. God is still sovereign. Let me tell you. God rules. God rules. Satan can play all sorts of games. Satan can push your buttons. Satan can pull you, push you, do all sorts of stuff. But I want to tell you what. God is on the throne. All right? Now, it doesn't make things go away. And I want to say this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you what. God's on his throne. It doesn't make things easier. What do you think? I still got to go through it. I still got to have those experiences. It still hurts. I'm still wounded. What makes it possible is God is with you. Do you notice as I read almost all those passages there that as we kind of looked at all those passages, I want you to notice, we're not going to go back and read them, but you need to go back and read them. Because at the end of every one of those things, it said what? That God. Every one of them. Every one of them. I'm depressed. That God. This world is a mess. That God. See that? See, God is sovereign. God is on his throne. And he sits there in the midst of our lives. And then he says this, I give you peace. The kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that this world can give. So don't be worried or afraid. Life's not going to be easy. That God says, I've got peace for you.
I got something for you. I'll give this to you. Now, like I said, it doesn't make it easy, but it makes God a blessing. See, I think there's a difference. We want the, anybody want the easy way out? We want the easy way out. Now, who's going to give you the easy? 99% of the time, who's going to give you the easy way out? Somebody tell me. The devil will give you the easy way out, won't he? I want us to have the blessing and not the easy way. What do you guys think? Wouldn't you rather be blessed? Wouldn't you rather have the provisions of God in your life? The God who's good, the God who's powerful, the God who loves, the God who cares, the God who understands, the God there. Wouldn't you rather have that in your life? A God who wants the best for you. He's not against you. He wants the best for you. Because see, these things are going to happen in our life. Those trials and those sorrows in this world are going to happen. But God wants to use them. Here's this. Anybody read that book? Anybody? I've read that book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, right? Anybody? Boy, I'm hoping you guys did. I like that last chapter. He had that phrase called recycling grace. And I like it. So I put the definition here because I wanted you to see this. Listen to what it said. God's recycling grace takes our infirmities, our damaged emotions, the garbage of our lives, and turns them from curses that cripple into means for growth and instruments to be used for His service. God recycles those sorrows. That God recycles those wounds. That God recycles those hurts. That God takes those things in our lives and He uses them to grow us and to serve Him and others. See, God I like that picture. It took me a while. I really wrestled with that. But that God recycles. See, He takes those things that are bad, those hurtful things, those fearful things, those failures, those wounds, and He takes those things and He twists them around. And He molds them. And He shapes them. So that in the midst of all of that, He can use it for good. Think about that. See, here's the verse that says that. Many of you probably heard this verse. Anybody, you have troubles, you got sorrows, you got things going on in your life, and somebody will tell you this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Anybody ever have that verse quoted to them when they're in the midst of trouble? You're struggling, you have heartache, something's going on, and somebody says, well, God can use it for good. Isn't that encouraging? You're sitting there and your heart is aching and somebody says, don't worry, God's going to use it for good. Yeah. Yeah. How comforting is that? Yeah. As I thought about this, I'm going to tell some stories. And I, when you're in the midst of your troubles, when you're in the midst of those struggles, when you're in the midst of that depression and that bitterness and that anger and resent and those abuses and you're in the midst of all of that, hearing that, well, God causes all things to work together for good. There's not much comfort. That's why I started where I started. Because you start with the sovereignty of God. Because that's where the comfort's going to come from. To know that God hasn't abandoned you. That's why I laid, you know, all that first stuff I just been talking about, the sovereignty of God, the reason that's there, because you need to understand something. God is with you. God has you. You know, you get in trouble and it's like, well, God ran off. God bailed on me. He left me here and I'm all by myself. That ain't true. See, we need to understand that that sovereignty of God. God is there. God is there and He's caring and He's watching and He understands and He loves you and He's going to do the best for you. And yeah, you got to go through it. Anybody ever tell your kids you got to go through the school of hard knocks? Anybody have a kid that's going to have to learn the hard way? Anybody raise a kid that's always going to learn the hard way? Well, I got news for you. You're one of those kids of God, okay? You know, most of us go through life learning the hard way, don't we? But see, God is on his throne. And so here's what I want to make sure you understand. God does not change bad things into good things. All right? But he changes the meaning of the bad things. Bad things are still horrible. All right? Bad things are still evil and unfair. Bad things are still tragic and unjust. Bad things are still bad things. But the meaning of those things can change. And so here's what I thought. We're going to go through life. And life's not fair. We have our wounds and we have our hurts. And yes, we're messed up. But God, on his throne, looks down with compassion, looks down with care, and he says, I'm going to take that garbage, those wounds and those hurts, and I'm going to use them in some way in your life that you can and be used by me. See, I think so often when we read this verse, God caused all things to be together for good, and we stop there. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I'm going to tell you how God uses them for good. All right? I want to show you, and I want you to understand how God can take those hurts in your life and use them for good. Two things. It's in that definition, and it's right there. God uses them for good in these two ways. He will grow you, and he will use you. All right? He will grow you, and he will use you. So if you look at that first point, it says this. God can grow you through your emotional wounds. God can grow you through those hurts, through those circumstances, through that abuse, through that mistreatment, through that failure, through that wound. God can grow you through that. And I got a picture here of Paul. Paul was a missionary. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul was a missionary out doing God's work. Now, if you do God's work, you shouldn't suffer, right? Right? Come on. You're doing God's work. There's no pain in God's work. It's a blessed life. You never have another trouble in the world, right? No. Paul's trying to serve and trying to do what God said. He's planting churches. He's on these journeys. He's doing all this stuff. And he's having a rock party. And he's the target, okay? He gets stoned, and that's not on marijuana, even though it might be legal in California. It's not legal with God, all right? Don't you like that little plug right there? Boop, boop. All right? Yeah. All this stuff's going on. Yeah. Getting abused, lied about, pushed around, mentally drained, arguing with Peter. Peter, you act one way around the Jews, and when the Jews aren't there, you act another way. Why do you change your way? Arguing with Peter, fighting with Barnabas about Timothy or Mark. I mean, you know, Paul had a great life, right? Listen to what he writes. But God said to me, he was praying for God to take care of some physical things in his life. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying, I'm going through these things in my life, and God is growing me through these. God is strengthening me, God is empowering me, God is working with me through these. I want to make sure you get the picture. God grows us through these situations. So I put some ways down here. I want you to write these down in your notes. And I didn't give you a place right, but you might want to write this down. How can God grow you? God can grow you in your knowledge. Is that true? In the midst of your trials, in the midst of that abuse, in the midst of those heartaches, in the midst of those wounds, God can grow you in knowledge. He can grow you in wisdom. He can grow you in understanding. Now I get it. Anybody? He can grow you in your attitude. Some of us need a change of attitude. Anybody have friends that need a change of attitude? He can grow you in attitude. He can grow you in your potential, in your self-awareness of who you are and how God can use you. He can grow you. He can grow you in your relationship skills. See, when we say God's going to use it for good, I don't think let's define that. God wants to grow me. And how does God want to grow me? Where does God want to grow me? Some of you have been with me for a long time in this church, and I've shared my story, my first pastorate. At 17, I became a Christian. At 17, I crossed that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. I made a decision to give my life and my heart to God at 17. 18 years old, God calls me to be a pastor. So it's like, okay, you're going to go to school. So I start pursuing my education. 7 years. I want to pastor. I want to preach. My friends are preaching, and I don't get to preach. Anybody have a burning to preach? You know what I'm talking about. And so 7 years, I go through school, I get through college, I go through the master's program, junior college, all that work. I finally get my first church. Finally, that dream. Anybody ever have a dream? That vision. Get that first church, and you're excited, and you're pumped. But it's a heartache. Because you know, sometimes Christians don't act like Christians. Can you believe that? You know, unbelievable. 6 months in, I know I'm toast. Abuse. Feelings of failure. 7 years, this dream, 7 years working towards this. And then you finally get there and you got this dream and somebody just blows it up. Anybody had their dreams blown up? 7 years I worked towards this. And now it's gone. You know what that does to your heart? You go to a pastor's retreat. You know what you do? Climb the side of a mountain and you sit there and you cry. Seriously. I'm on the side of the mountain. I wasn't going to go to the retreat. My pastor friends in that area up there said, "You're going." They paid for me to go and took me. So one day I went up on the side of this mountain. I just sat on this rock on the side of this mountain. Anybody been wounded? Hurt? Anybody feel like you're sitting on a rock on a mountain, just your heart is just pouring out because your dream is crushed? Bitterness, anger? If you would have told me God causes all things to work together for good, Gary, shut up. Leave me alone. I just want to sit here and cry. But I came down, and I had this confidence that if God called me, God had a place for me. If he had a place for me, he was going to use me. Because God is still sovereign. Now, it took me a long time to know the good of that, okay? Now, I look back on that. You know what good came out of that? I've been here 33 years. I learned how to get along with people. You're 27 years old. You got all the answers, right? Come on. You guys know what it's like being 27. You know, and I learned skills, and I learned pastoring, and I learned people, and I learned God grew me. But it took me a little while to learn that. Anybody? See, I want to make sure you understand God grows us through these experiences. God grows you. Rejection. Failure. That's how I felt. That God is sovereign. And he can grow you through a lot. Learned a lot about being a leader. My best friend owned the newspaper in town. Taught me a whole lot. Was the music director in the church. Great person. We need to understand. So here's what I put. I wrote it this way on your paper. Identify your growth opportunity. Where do you need to grow? Where do you need to grow? You need to grow in relationship skills, relationally, attitude, wisdom, knowledge,
those experiences in your life, those wounds, those hurts, God can use those to grow you where you need to grow. So I just give you a place. Where do you need to grow? What is that in your broken relationships, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend? I remember another one. I never really dated. So I started going to church, and I was, 17, 18 years old, started dating the girls in the church. And I went with one and broke up, went with another one and broke up. Anybody get in a cycle of that? Don't do it. My last one was this. I broke up with this girl, and my prayer before I broke up was this. God, I don't want to just go out anymore. This is what God taught me. I don't want to date. The next person I'm with, I want to be my spouse that's going to be my future. See, I don't believe in dating. Because, the first girl, she hurt me. Anybody been hurt by a girl or a guy? The first girl hurt me. The next two, I hurt them. And I didn't like that. That's not what I wanted. See, that wound. And so I decided that I'm not going to go out anymore. So you know what I did? I didn't date a girl in the church. I dated the whole youth group. We just all went out together. And pretty soon, guess who pops up as the one? Laura. It's just kind of like we're running around as a youth group, and that was it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, Gary, there she is. I'm not into dating, okay? I'm going to tell you, kids, don't date. Just hang around until God shows you the one. All right? See, God uses those experiences. He used that wounds in my life to teach me something. So I'm trying to take you to the next point. This is my next point. See, my next point says this. God can use your emotional wounds to serve others. See, I'm trying to show you that learn from my mistake. Learn from my mess up so you don't have to go through it. See, not only does God use those situations in our life to grow us, God uses those situations in our life to help others. All right? How many of us try to help our kids so they don't have to go through the same things we went through? Anybody try to help your kids? Then your dumb kid does what? I shouldn't have said it that way. The kid didn't listen, did they? But you want your kids, God wants us to use those skills to help others. Look at what it says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Why don't you circle that? When there are troubles, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. See the picture? See, one of the good things that comes out of the bad things in your life is God's going to use you to help somebody else. Let me ask you, isn't it rewarding to know that you shared some wisdom with somebody, that something came out of one of your experiences, and you shared that with them, and they don't make the same mistake you back and say, thank you for telling me that? Isn't that rewarding? That's what God is sitting here saying for us. He's going to step into our lives and step into the midst of our lives, in the midst of those hurts, in the midst of those wounds. And he's going to comfort us. He's going to be with us. And then he can take that and he can use that so we can help somebody else. It, knows the troubles I've seen. How often do you feel like, well, nobody knows what I'm going through? And the reality is, you know what? We're all not that unique, are we? So we know. Who better to know what it's like trying to raise a child with special needs than a parent with a special needs child? Anybody? What's it like trying to raise a strong-willed child? Anybody have one of those besides me?
than to help a parent. You know, I always get frustrated with somebody who has one child, tries to tell somebody how to raise a kid and they only had one. You know, it's like, come on! I had three and they're all so different. Night and day. You know? But who better to understand than somebody to say, you know what? I know what it's like. You know? They want a dress? Yeah, you ain't wearing that dress. Who better to understand those financial struggles, you know, bankruptcy and the financial pressure than somebody whose business and the failures there and that you can walk with? Anybody? A broken relationship? A marriage? Last year was really rough, and we had a couple of suicides and things like that, and it brought back to my mind, which made it hard, I had lost my brother to suicide. But I was talking to a family, and I could identify with their children, because I know what it was like to go through that. I want you to think about, you know, when we read this verse, God causes all things to work together for good. When we hear that verse, we're in the midst of our troubles. I don't want to hear it. Anybody? I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I know, but I don't want to hear it. All right? But then what I can do is, as time goes by and as time moves, I can begin to see God growing. And then God using. See, the problem is this. See, the problem with God using us, we have this problem. I don't want anybody to know my failures. I don't want anybody to know my problems. I don't want anybody to know my battles. I don't want anybody to know my struggles. Anybody? You know what I'm saying? We don't want to share because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to take the risk. Because see, if they know me, they might not. Be willing to take the risk. See, I think a lot of us have some potential service and ministry and opportunities in our life that we stuff because we don't want anybody to know. We don't want anybody to know. I don't want you to know what. I don't want you to know my failures. Anybody want to? I want to post my failures on Facebook, right? Isn't that fun? No, we don't want anybody to know our failures. I don't want anybody to know my battles, you know, that self-esteem, that depression, that anger. I don't want anybody. See, I want to tell you, we got to be willing to take that risk. And then if we're willing to take the risk, then we'll have excuses like this. I just don't have time. I just don't have time to help somebody. See, let me tell you what you do. When you don't have time and you're not willing to take the risk, you're wasting a hurt. You're wasting that hurt. You've been hurt for no reason. You've been wounded for nothing. If you do not grow, and you do not serve others, wound is just a scar in your life. It might be me. See, I think a lot of us have scars that we hide. We have those wounds that we just kind of don't want anybody to know. So I wrote it this way on your paper. Look for opportunities to serve others. Look for opportunities to serve others. Where? Sympathy. A parent. Where can you serve others? So I'm going to end with two questions tonight, today. Just two simple questions. And I put them there for you, and I left lots of space. What do you think that space is for? All right, all right. What have you learned from painful experiences in your life? What have you learned? Attitude, knowledge, wisdom, relationally, understanding. What have you learned through that wound, through that hurt, through that abuse? What have you learned through that? Make a note. What did you, you know, is it just going to be a hurt in your life that's a scar that you just put a Band-Aid on and I'm just going on? That's a scar in my life. Or is it going to be something that God can use for the good? How did you grow through that wound? How did you grow through it? The second one I put down here is this. What is a painful experience in your life that you want God to use for good in someone else's life? What is that painful experience in life that you want God to use to help somebody else? And again, I left you, what is it? I shared mine, you know, the church, boyfriend, girlfriend situations. What about you? What is one of the things in your life? What is one of the situations in your life? One of those hurts, one of those wounds that you want God to use. Now, you notice what I said, that you want God. You got to be willing to let God use it. There's all sorts of wounds out there. So I want to challenge you. See, my prayer through this sermon series is we have this stigma of emotional wellness. We put this on. I used to tell people all the time, and Martha and those guys can testify, when I come to church on Sunday, you know what? It is the best day in the world. I don't care what happened during the week. I don't care what went wrong during the week. I don't care what's going on right now in my life. When I come to church on Sundays, I used to put a mask on. You know, it's a great day. Could have been in hell feeling like it. But when I came to church, I put a mask on. Because I had to set the tone. I'm the pastor. Now, forget it. You get what you get. Last week I was sick and you got it, okay? You know, I got to be real. See, we try to hide. Life hurts. We've all been wounded. We all have issues. We all have battles. It's just different. So I want to challenge you. Where have you grown? What have you learned from that wound? What have you learned from that hurt? And then what do you want God to do with something in your life that hurts you? That's damaged you? I want to challenge you this week. We're wrapping this series up. We're going to start Christmas next week, okay? We're going to have a great time as we get ready for Christmas. We're going to party. I want to have a party for Christmas. But I want you to go today with a joy and a peace and a love. Because God is sovereign. And whatever's happened in your life, whatever's went down, whatever's taking you down, God wants to grow you through it. And God wants to use it to others. Now you notice I didn't say God just wants to do something good with it, all right? I wanted to put some things to it for you. So I ask you those last two questions. What have you learned from the painful experience of your life? And then what painful experience in your life that you want God to use for good in someone else's? That is a sovereign God in your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. Life is painful. The devil steps up day after day, seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. But you're God. So God, I just ask you to take the hurts and the wounds that are in this place and use them for your. Teach us and grow us that we may serve those that are about us. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're wounded and you're hurt and you just want to say, God, I don't know what I need to learn from it. Maybe you couldn't put anything down because you just don't know. And you say, would you pray that I can see what God wants me to learn? Would you just shoot your hand up? Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Maybe you're on the other end and Maybe you need to use it, and you've just been kind of hiding it. Kind of, you know, fear, vulnerable, taking the risk. You just haven't been willing. Would you, if you're willing to say, I want God to use me in my wound, in somebody, would you just show your hand? Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Lord, in the hands of these, some of them want you to reveal the learning. They want you to reveal the truth of how you can use it in their life to grow them. Whether it's an attitude or a relational skill or it's a bitterness or an anger or resentment, whatever it is, Lord, show them the growth that you can accomplish through that wound. It still hurts. It's still painful. But you can grow them. And then for those who are willing to be used by you, bring that one into their life that they may be an encouragement. That wound will not be wasted, that hurt will not go in vain, that they will use those lives and those situations and those wounds to minister to others. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.